Hi, Mark.
Tony.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, mate?
I'm livid. I'm
Why?
So pissed off.
Why? Why are you pissed off? You've been here for about half an hour. I didn't realize you were pissed off.
Yeah, I decided to keep my powder dry. I decided to keep it for once we started rolling.
You were oddly pleasant.
Yeah, I know.
For the encounter.
I'm very annoyed, and what it's very petty.
Is it anything to do with me? If I
No, it's not you.
Thanks. I'm just used to people being irritated at me. Right.
Well, that'll come, because I'm sure you're about to irritate a lot of people.
Yeah, eat shit, everyone. But what?
Have you ever played the game Monopoly Deal?
I've played Monopoly. Is Monopoly Deal like a sort of a kid?
It's the card game. It's like much simple. It's like a 15-minute card game. You kind of get properties and, you know, there's money and you can take properties
Please
off people.
Please tell me you lost your rag at your family and have damaged some relationships.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't quite lose my rag, but we've been playing it the last few days. The kids have learned how to play it. It's quite a fun game.
Yeah.
The kids have won a few games, which is good, you know, because there's a bit of luck involved. But me and my wife win more because we're adults with higher functioning brain power at the moment than them, I guess.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
For now, anyway.
Yeah.
But my wife won a couple of games tonight, and I was like, oh, okay, I need to up my game. One of them, she was a bit lucky. There's this one card, which is, it's like the overpower.
All right. We're getting into the weeds here.
So we're playing, and she's leading again. Like, clearly she's leading, and it's an individual game.
Right.
But if one person wins, then everybody else loses. So basically, if someone's leading,
there's Monopoly, isn't it?
You've got to take them down because.
So you go after the leader.
Basically.
Oh, and one
so
of the kids.
So I started depleting her funds so that we could. The next person to get her is going to get some of her properties, so she's not going to be able to win the game.
Yeah.
And my son has a golden chance to just take her down, and he's like, "Dad, give me the money." I was like, "What are you talking to me? You? I was furious. You little shit." What the fuck are you targeting me for? If she wins, you lose.
But this is the win. This is the win. As somebody who is...
Fuck that guy.
As somebody who is a shit stirrer, this is the win.
I didn't show him that side of me.
But he would have felt it. He would have felt the rage.
He felt it.
And he would have done this. Oh, yeah.
He felt it.
I love it. Garrett, you've just gone up a few steps on my belt, mate. Well done.
He felt it, all right. Little prick. I'm going to start doing that with his sister. I'm just going to... I'm just going to just... No, I won't target you, Alice. Garrett, give me the money.
You know what? You've got a big brotherly relationship with your son. Like, that's... You should just be happy for your son to express himself in the way that he wants to express
that's
himself.
That's bullshit.
And he likes to express himself by shitting on you.
There you go.
And I am here for it.
Loves his mum.
Yeah. Mums are great.
Thanks, Garrett. Little... Toe rag.
I hope he gets to watch it. He's not going to watch a whole lot of this podcast in his life.
No, he's not.
He might stumble on it over one day when you're dead.
I've thought that
before. I'm like, maybe, you know, loved ones of mine, like my daughter, will be like, I wonder what dad was... Well, I can watch him talk shit for a while.
She watches 5 minutes first.
And then she'll be like, "Yeah, that's the guy. I know. I live with him."
Actually, like, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, but if he stumbles over this period, know Garrett that Tony is proud of you, and your son, your father, thinks you're a twat. Apparently,
That was very annoying.
Wow, you really kept your powder dry because there was a lot of rage there.
I was thinking about the whole drive over here. You little shit. Like, I mean, I get a little bit competitive during those games. I want to win, but I'm not unreasonably. Like, if one of the... He won the first game, and I was like, yeah, good on you, mate, because you've won for a while.
Well done, son.
Good strategy.
I don't quite understand how the game works. Like, Madison plays a Monopoly Kids one version, and everything's like $3. Like, the most expensive thing's like $5 and stuff like that. But she's good. She's good set. And she's better at me, like, memory games and stuff. You know, the ones, like, you flip over and all.
Yeah.
She's just like, boop, 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 boop. And I'm like, I'm sure there were some tomatoes. Under somewhere. All the head knocks and drugs catching up with me.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm really pleased by that. That made me feel really good about it.
I'm glad. You got a bit of schadenfreude thing going on.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Nice.
I didn't know. Look, what's this thing on the back of this beautiful springboard jacket? It's meant to be like a... What is it meant to be like?
Don't know.
Zebra?
Just a bit of style.
They know for their style, the South Africans.
Essex, maybe. They're with Nike now, though. I need to update my gear.
What do you know about South Africa other than the rugby team And, you know, it's in Africa. Nelson Mandela.
They like Bill Tong.
Charlize Theron's from... They love their meat.
They like brandy.
Yeah, Clippers and Coke. Charlize Theron.
Yep.
Famous South Africans. Go. Nelson Mandela.
Yeah. You mean non-rugby playing South Africans?
Yes.
Okay. I can do this.
They probably can't do many New Zealand.
The guy who directed District 9.
The movie set in South Africa about an alien invasion.
Yeah, that guy's South African. Noah, what's his name?
I don't know. Noah, like a long last name?
I don't know. Elon Musk has got a South African connection.
Charlize Theron is the one that I offered up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably more.
I'm sure there's tons.
Yeah, there'll be lots.
Famous South African musician.
No.
Famous South African song?
Does that Rasi, does that count?
Nurse Azuka Lele Africa. Everyone loves it when I sing.
Ooh.
No, I won't do the whole thing. No, I can't.
Seems like it's like a, they like a bit of wine as well. I'm sure they grow some wine and they're a farming country.
Like their meat, parts of it. They like their meat.
Got some nice beaches. They got a lot of sharks.
Yeah. You hear about shark attacks over there.
Yeah. There's the Cape. That's the, you know.
Tabletop Mountain.
That's right. Is it Tabletop Mountain or is it just Table Mountain?
It could be Table Mountain.
the Cape. People used to go around the Cape. There used to be a big thing in navigation. So go around the Cape. That was a big thing.
The old Cape of...
Cape.
Don't say kidnappers. That's in
Cape
New Zealand.
Cape Horn?
Cape Horn.
Is that it?
Horn. Maybe. There are South Africans watching the screaming, all the like
all famous people, inventions, generals, pilots.
Let us know some stuff below about.
Give us some facts. Every time I mention like a fact, because every time I do the monthly update,
yeah,
I'll be like, oh, here's where all the viewers are from. And I just mainly do it by country, but I'll have a look through the cities. And there'll be some interesting cities. Like, there's a city called Pietermaritzburg. And I was like, that's a cool name. There's a city called, Boksburg. And I was like, Boksburg? What a fucking name that is. And then whenever I mention those things, people will give me some facts about these places. Oh, it was founded by this guy.
Oh, wow.
That's quite cool. I always like that.
Power of the internet. Enlighten us, internet. Below. I can't think of... Would they be able to think of a famous New Zealand?
Probably not.
Lord is massive.
Is she?
Giant, like for.
She was very good on hot ones.
Oh yeah, she was actually.
She was like you wouldn't even know she was eating hot food.
Yeah. So Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. Oh, he's a bit annoying.
I like him.
Okay.
My
dad would say he loves himself.
Yeah, your dad is a lovely bloke, but anyone who has any sort of spark of sort of like, he's from that generation. If you put yourself out there too much, you're crossing the line.
I think I've got to put that in me as well.
Yeah, bring it back in, which is not a great. It's not my favorite New Zealand trait. I've got to be honest with you. I think we should celebrate ourselves and be expressive and not try and, you know, cut off the tall poppies. You know,
right?
Is Sir Edmund Hillary?
Yeah,
we're New Zealanders naming famous New Zealanders.
That's pretty easy.
Any South Africans in the NBA? Like Stephen Adams is in the NBA.
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
But the way we talk about Stephen Adams in New Zealand, you'd think he's the best player in the NBA. At least that's what they used to. When I used to like watch the 6 o'clock news, it'd be like they'd go with the rugby and then they would like talk about the NBA
through the lens of Stephen Adams. When he would be, because he was in some really significant like final series and stuff when he was with OKC and he was like a big player. He got kicked in the nuts by Draymond Green in a massive game once.
Yeah.
Headline news.
Yeah.
New Zealander gets kicked in the nuts.
But it'd be like when there was a Canadian guy, Tyler Ardron, playing for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's like he wasn't the star player for the Chiefs. But if they were reporting rugby news in Canada, they would probably do it through the lens of like, what's Tyler Ardron up to?
Yeah, because it's...
Because he's a very good player.
Perspective.
Yeah, exactly. But the way we talk about him, I think, is maybe a little bit overdone.
So you're doing it again. You're cutting down the old tall poppy again.
He's not...
I know, but you've got to get engaged.
He's not LeBron James.
Yeah, he's not. But nobody talks about him as LeBron James.
New Zealand media, you'd think he's like the best player on the team.
No, they don't. Yes, they talk about him because he's the only thing that... It's not a massive sport in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And he's done very, very, very well.
For sure.
Incredibly well.
More money than all the All Blacks combined.
Yeah, he's done insanely well, and they go, and the way to engage like a
New Zealanders is to go
like a 68-year-old woman is go, oh, young Māori bloke from Rotorua comes
plays
good,
in the NBA.
Plays in the NBA, and he's not shit, you know. And then oh, that's nice.
It's just every week.
I've been to Rotorua.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a connection. No, they did that. I remember when I lived in China, there was a guy named Yao Ming playing for the Rockets as well.
Yeah, and that would
and
be
like easy. Every time, I remember once I turned it on and I was watching some basketball, which I never do.
Uh-huh.
I was watching the Rockets play, and it was in Chinese commentary, and all I could hear was like Yao Ming, Yao Ming, Yao Ming, and I was like, where the fuck is Yao Ming? He's a giant. Why can't I see him? He wasn't even playing.
Oh, really?
He was just injured.
I feel like you need to come across a little bit, my man.
So it's not a uniquely New Zealand thing. It's
yeah, it's just what people do. They want to talk about the thing that's
just keep related. It to the key events and stats, you motherfuckers. Stop trying to.
I feel like you swear way more than I do on this podcast.
Yeah,
like, because when you get onto mine, you're like, oh, I can fucking let it go. I've been fucking sitting in front of a whiteboard just wanting to fucking swear.
Yeah. It probably helps the fact that my son betrayed me. It's got me riled up.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's got your sauce flowing.
Yeah.
It's got you ticked in the right places.
Now, speaking of people getting riled up.
Oh, yeah.
When we don't talk about the rugby, some people don't like that.
Other
people do like it.
Yeah.
But there's always someone who's gone, why don't you leave us some kind of indication of when you're actually going to talk about the rugby? And every fucking week we do.
Rugby starts, and sometimes they're quite long out there. When I get to see them and I'm like, oh, 16 minutes in.
Yeah. That's talking some shit.
That's all you are. Yeah, so there's an indication. The only people that I feel a little bit sorry for who want to get to the rugby content a little bit quicker are our dedicated listeners who listen audio only.
Yes.
Who listen to this podcast.
2 cents gets distracted. A rugby podcast.
On iHeartRadio.
Or Spotify.
Or one of those others.
Yep.
iHeartRadio, Spotify.
Apple Podcasts,
and then all the rest, basically. I feel for those people.
Yeah, because they can't see the flashing indication. But I think like most of the viewers are YouTube.
Just keep tapping that like 30.
I also
15 second or 30 second ahead button.
I also put timestamps last time.
Yeah.
So there was literally a.
I'm a little bit lazier than you. Yeah. By the time I get it uploaded after editing it, I'm like, it's up there, you know. Although I probably will do it with test matches a lot of the time, but sometimes it's a little bit irritating in super rugby rounds to go.
Yeah, there's 8 different games.
All right, but there was some rugby in the weekend.
Yes.
Are we ready to talk about it?
Well, the breakdown didn't want to talk about it.
They finally got my feedback.
Yeah, stop talking about
South Africa. Stop talking about South Africa.
It's a New Zealand show.
Yeah, just fucking look.
I watched it yesterday.
It was a troll.
I watched it yesterday,
yeah,
and I was getting my team of the week ready. So I've got like the breakdown on the background. I'm listening to it, and I'm getting all my stats and shit ready.
Just getting your hot takes from Jeff.
Yeah, I'm just copying word for word what frigging Jeff is saying. But and I was like, and then they ended it, and I was like, oh, shit, I missed the part where they talked about the box in Argentina game.
Yeah.
So I went back and rewound it, and then it wasn't there, and I went to the YouTube version because I was looking on Sky.
Yeah.
And then there's all these comments going, are you just not
going to? I didn't. The only bit I watched of the breakdown this week was just the Razor interview.
Oh, yeah. That was quite good.
Yeah, a bit softball, but.
She asked him a couple once, and he was like, oh.
Ooh.
Well, what are you asking me these hard questions for?
It was like, it wasn't that hard. It was like, how do you feel about foreign
overseas
players?
Yeah.
But it was, and his response is, have an open mind, is let them play, you bastards.
Basically, yep.
Yeah. But yeah, then I only noticed it on other people's videos. It was like, good on you, Mark. This breakdown didn't even talk about it. It was like so many comments just bitching about the breakdown. But I think that the breakdown is a New Zealand show made for New Zealanders. It's very, very, it's not even a secondary function, the fact it's uploaded onto YouTube. It's made for Sky Television, that network, for baby boomers who still have Sky in New Zealand.
Yep.
Who sit down on a Sunday night and don't really watch a lot of YouTube and turn it on and listen to the guys go on about their shit. And they go,
that's the target audience for that show.
That audience isn't really that interested in anything else other than New Zealand focus. Because it's a New Zealand show.
Yeah.
But I do think the fact that they didn't even mention
it's bizarre. When we're playing in the competition and the trophy's been lifted, you would think, like, hey, what do you think about the box getting the trophy? Oh, well, it was to be expected.
I get the feeling because they have a very, very New Zealand perspective, yep. and it riles up so many South Africans.
They are very aware of that as well, because they often mention it, like they break the fourth wall, like we know all our South African viewers,
and they cop so much shit, and they're like, what can we do? What would be the ultimate troll? It's not mention it at all.
Do you think that's what it was?
I can't think of anything else.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, so in honor of what they're doing and in solidarity of our fellow New Zealanders, this is just a troll what he's wearing. We're not going to mention it. No, I'm kidding. We will talk about it.
Did you watch it live? Or did you watch it on demand? Were you spoiled to it?
I wasn't spoiled to it, but after about 5 scrums, I felt
you figured this is the way this is going to go.
Yeah. I was like, holy.
It was 48-7.
Yeah.
It wasn't really in doubt.
Not at all. It was quite a performance, really. I think that performance and the first game of the tournament were their strongest performances. Mm. I think they bookended it with a style of rugby which is terrifying for the rest of the world, which is not shying away from that power game, that set-piece domination.
Their DNA.
The DNA that they have.
And icing on the top. With like
but a run. So once it's like tenderizing a piece of meat and then just flailing it about a little bit. There was like a wild boar just taking it into the deep waters and just... Yeah, so because I was like, at the beginning, I was like, why? Okay, they've got a penalty here. They've gone for a corner to the kick, which is usually like a try-scoring move. We're going to maul it over. And I was like, are they going for a scrum so they can get another penalty?
Yeah.
So they can get another penalty. But it totally took the souls of South Africa. Oh, no, of Argentina.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself. I said Argentina, right?
There you go. Yeah. Someone did say that the Afrikaans pronunciation of Argentina is kind of like what you say. So maybe you're actually like a part. So, you're leaning into your inner South Africa.
Yeah. But I was
Afrikaner.
But I was thinking, oh, here we go. But so many scrums. This is great. Well, fantastic. But they were just so dominant. Oxenshay. Yeah. For me, is the player of the year right now.
I know. Like props never get a nomination, but he's got to be up there.
If he doesn't get a nomination,
then no prop ever will.
No prop ever will.
Tyke Furlong never got a nomination a few years, like 2018, when he was like bossing it for Ireland. Like he was kind of towards that unplayable level.
Probably will.
He never got nominated. The year Sexton won it. So if Ox doesn't get a nomination this year,
just purely on his impacts on the game.
Yeah.
Like and how much he clicks it. Even he's not kicking goals, he's not scoring tries, but he's taking the scoreboard over for them.
Sure.
Like he's getting them into the right positions, and he is terrifying. Absolutely. Absolutely terrifying. Who was it, Garjo, who was up against him this week?
Sklavi, I think. Garjo was the loose head.
Yeah, right. It was an absolute demolition.
Yeah.
And having those up the up the front, all those scrums back to back to back. That was the winning of the game. And then from there, I honestly thought the Argentinians played with intent, with intensity. I thought they turned up. You wouldn't think that looking at the scoreboard.
No, that's right.
But they were there to try to do everything they possibly could to win, everything they could to try and win the game.
Yeah.
But just that psychological damage of the scrum, and then matching that with ferocious contact in the tackle, both on offense and defense, and then with the sprinkling of like wide play, a little razzle. It's a terrifying proposal to put to any team. I think, and I think it's great work from Rossi to actually add that wrinkle. I'm sorry, I'm ranting and not letting you say a word here, but I've heard a few South African podcasts going, because they've played kind of average in quite a few games.
Yeah, when they beat us, you looked at them and go, they could have scored more points.
And that's what stung so much. We got them on a half-baked day.
Yeah, well, we could have beaten them, but
because
they hadn't, they'd let some things slide. Things had been a little bit like 80%-ish or something. Not gone to top gear.
Yeah,
and they still beat us.
They still beat us, and we played well for like 80% of the game until the last 20. Yeah, until the last 20. So that's why those games particularly stung for us. But I've heard a lot of South Africans, like the guys who I watch is a bit of a rage watch. The way that
they say rugby mad guys.
Did they mention
the All Blacks game?
I watched it, but the way the South Africans watched the breakdown. That's how I watch South Africa Rugby Magazine podcast.
I need to watch that.
Is it Cows or one? One guy's called Keo. One guy's called Cows. The younger of the two is like he's always like
that'll be Cows.
This is not the way we play and are going on. He has a Mexican character, which is great. I appreciate this as, but I sit there going, that's wrong! Like, raging out. But he's really anti, he calls it Tony Ball. Yeah, like the running rugby.
Not you, like Tony Brown. was like, holy shit. He's been watching our podcast. Tony then, lost the league. Because it's Tony Ball. Why did I think that? How important do I think what you are?
Okay.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, but I have the input. I don't have. Yeah, sorry. So, yeah, because of Tony Ball from Tony Brown, not Tony O'Sullivan.
Your importance.
Yeah. He's like, well, he's mentioning you. Wow, that's weird. It's impacting the South African style of play. Oh, don't. Rusty's like, Tony doesn't like scrums, guys.
We need to make the scrum more entertaining. The Ox, what can you do for us?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but he's like really anti Tony Ball, where the other guy's a little bit more like, we're adding wrinkles. He's like, no, we've just got to revert to our DNA, our style, our type. If we play this proper way, they call everybody Oaks. These Oaks can beat any team by 30 points and all this sort of stuff. But I think, you know, Russi is, as much as I hate to admit it, a bit of a genius.
Mm.
That if they are able to, even from this point, like, they're not going to be great out of the packet straight away and in every game, but if they're able to get to their performances to a more consistent level where Ireland kind of are in terms of the way that Ireland don't have too many really bad games. They're bad and they're good. Their best game and their bad game, the worst game aren't that far apart.
Right.
If South Africa are able to operate in that sort of zone, that little zone of proximal difference, it's going to, they'll be a terrifying, terrifying team to play if they can really, really build and build and build on that.
Especially seeing as they've gone 5-1 whilst still, they haven't played like their strongest team every week. Like Andy Farrell in the Six Nations, pretty much barring the Italy game, always plays the strongest team.
Yeah.
He doesn't muck around with like, oh, this week we'll try this guy, next week we'll try that guy. Whereas Russi's been like, nope, this week we're going to change 10 guys. I mean, they lost. They paid the price for that over in Argentina.
Yeah.
Where they changed 10 guys, but they almost won it. They very much could have won that one.
You can't do that as an All Black coach because we're a public that, even though we've lost 3 games, we have a history where it's like, you just can't lose. And we don't have the depth of the squad to be able to go.
At the moment, yeah.
You know, we're going to start. We're going to start Proctor and David Harvey.
We did it against Fiji. But that's
Proctor, David Harvey, Sevu Rees, Mark Talaia. Mm. I'd like to see Mark Talaia. Who, you know, like get Papa Lee and why can't I have a guy called
Jacobson?
We could have, like, it's hard. It's not a bad sounding team, but that would be, he does that.
Yeah.
Every other week. We haven't done that once. We've tried.
We did it against Fiji and that was it. Like, Proctor's only played one game.
Yeah, he played.
And he's been like reluctant to play some of the other guys from the bench.
It was almost, he was very reluctant to play this gem we've uncovered, Satiti, as well. Yeah,
that's true.
Which we'll get into. But
man.
What a performance, eh?
Peter Steph Tutoi?
Stupid.
I know.
Just stupid.
How did he control that ball with his fingertips over the freaking top of there? That's unbelievable.
All right, or a sneaky bit of disconnection there at some point.
Surely not.
Well, there was, it looked pretty, there was no frame to conclude that it didn't, but it kind of wobbled. It wobbled and it was on the tips of his fingers.
I still think he had a sort of finger on it.
They awarded
it. What about Colby's step? Boom!
It's an ankle breaker.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. That should be banned. Ban that shit.
I love a brilliant little man.
I know.
God, he'd kill it in league, man. They love a brilliant little guy. Brilliant little guys are really popular in NRL. Yeah,
he's got a real hot step, man. That was
hot stepper.
Quite unbelievable. Fussy at the fullback, scored a couple of tries.
Yeah,
he set up the Colby one as well. Looping long ball.
I like watching Manny Lebok play as well.
Oh yeah, he played real confidently.
Yeah, and
for a guy who's got the pressure of like the nation on his shoulders and a lot of people calling for him never to represent the Springboks again. He was just kind of like, fuck you, let me play the game. And he was like doing little kicks off the side of his boot and stuff.
Yeah, he's got that, it's Carlos-esque, Spencer-esque, by the way, with that sort of, very Carlos Spencer, the whole not looking, but like flick it out on the boot. That's circa 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Bit of Tony Ball. It's really fun to watch because they've got these supremely talented athletes and then, you know, Dale Endy and stuff. And
oh, he had a monster performance as well.
Yeah, just
a
giant.
Jesse Creel.
Yeah. Just.
Even Elizabeth broke the record for Springbok caps.
Well done. And you know what's really nice? We talked about Oxen Chay, right? And we talked about Peter Steph, but we're talking about a lot of backs.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Springbok backs because they've got these freak athletes.
Yep.
And like just giving them a bit of, you know, I don't know. They say it's in their DNA to be these big, combative forwards. Yeah, it certainly is. But you've also got these incredibly athletic, skillful backs.
They're unleashing.
You've got, you know, all your Afrikaans DNA in there that is that big, beefy stuff. But boy, oh boy, there are a few, I don't know about you, but there are a few pretty talented African athletes throughout the world. And giving that spice into the team, you know, and that athletic flavor and that dominance and that skill level, it's a terrifying proposition. I think the DNA is more than just meat-eating bashers.
Right.
You know, and that's
got more layers to it.
And it's going, that's going to be a terrifying, a scary prospect. I think that's a scary prospect for a lot of South African fans. They're like, oh, you're not playing the way that we always wanted
to play.
Used to
play, right.
But as somebody who doesn't want them to win, I don't want them to play that way. You know, as somebody who wants to watch entertaining rugby, I do want them to play that way.
Well, I mean, I guess ideally they can do both. If they need to revert to type in a close game, if it's in wet and it's a knockout game, they can do it. Whereas if it's dry conditions and they've got like Marnie Lubbock starting, why not unleash them, right?
And it's kind of what they did against the All Blacks in that first game. Like they, you know, they tucked the ball under the shirt and was like, "Hey, look, this is not the day. We haven't got that clicking today." But they were able to revert back to a style of play that's won two World Cups in a row.
What about Argentina? They're inconsistent.
As I said before, I thought they really turned up. I know the scoreline doesn't really look like
that. How much is it is down to the fact that they had three cards and like they conceded at least, I think, four of their tries when they had at least 13 or 14 guys on the field?
And it looked like a schoolboy scrum playing.
Oh, yeah.
A man scrum.
Yeah.
Like it's that sort of disparity. Mm. And that's, it was almost like, it's almost like a cheat code, eh? That this, the Springboks
just like free penalty.
It's just like, almost, there's a scrum. There's a scrum. Like even when they were like something, there was a player went down. I don't know if it was a South African. It might have been a South African. I can't remember the player who it was. And they're like, boom, it was in the way. They stopped it. And I was like, oh, that sucks for Argentina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they got to restart with a scrum that they're probably going to lose a penalty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Know, like
anytime they would kick a high ball as well. It's like if they're kicking a high ball for Fussy, if he catches it, that's a win.
Yeah.
If either of them knock it on and there's no advantage played, that's a win. The only time they don't win is if the Argentinian guy catches it. Even if he catches it, if they monster him at the breakdown and get a turnover, that's a win. So there's like
get a penalty holding
basically
on.
Three of the four options is pretty, you know, it's a high percentage play.
Yeah.
To go for those high balls. And Marnie Lubbock's got a big old boot on him. He can get some real hang time on it. Yeah. Fussy's a pretty good dude in the air.
Terrifying prospect at the moment.
Yeah. Matera got red carded.
Yeah, deservedly, I think.
Yeah, there was no... I don't think there was any real doubt about that one.
He had eyes on it for a while. He came in. Yeah, that was that was sad to see.
A bit of handbags at the end. Argentinians maybe feeling a bit frustrated, you think? Or
I think just big testosterone-y players being dicks, basically, at the end, probably. Like,
I mean, I was getting angry at my son for playing fucking Monopoly Deal with me. So imagine that times it by 1,000 for rugby players.
Like they held them up and then they were gobbing them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
How do you like that? How do you like them apples?
Yeah, I think a few players pointing at the scoreboard and stuff. You know. Well, did you hear the passage from Sexton's book?
No.
Oh, we'll get into that later.
I'll write a note. Sex. There we go.
We have to fuck.
We've got sex on the books.
But
48-7, deserved champions, best team of the competition, pretty clearly.
Can I do something I don't want to
do? They didn't get the grand slam, though, of like an unbeaten run.
Yeah, yeah, and look, they didn't get the big breakdown pop, you know, of getting a great little...
And can I put this out there?
Yep.
Maybe a controversial take.
I love it.
Because some people make the comparison with the 2015 era All Blacks team. Not there yet.
Not there.
No. Not there yet.
Not all-encompassing, not all-dominant, not, you know, not...
Could get there. They could get there, for sure. And at World Cups, absolutely.
You look, there was this interesting thing on Reddit where they showed like winning streaks and stuff of World Cup winning teams.
Right.
And like I think the streak that they go, that the All Blacks go on after winning the World Cup is like 12 games in a row.
Right.
And that's just like...
Whereas the Blacks lost to Ireland.
Yeah. And then they lost to Argentina.
Right.
So, very good. Like, they're great. They're the best team.
Yeah. I just think talk about comparing to the 2015. Obviously, it's a different era, different players. You cannot compare, blah, blah, blah. They might get to be a team that goes to be genuinely all-conquering, goes through test years where they just don't lose any games, but not quite there yet.
And I don't know. I also
still the best team in the Southern Hemisphere by a mile at the moment.
I think it's a game of entertainment as well. And like, but if they add that wrinkle to their game and they get those style points as well, and that's going to make historians and pundits and all that sort of look back on them far more fondly. But they're adding that wrinkle.
Exactly.
Like, Tony Brown was an odd choice.
That's
right. It was a bit of a scary choice, and we were like, because he was like the mad scientist attacking coach of, you know, Jamie Joseph's little stooge. Yeah. And sorry, Tony Brown.
Yeah.
But he he's added some really, really interesting stuff.
I mean, over the next couple of years,
They could do it.
We could get to the point where you see them like going, they're going to play Libbach against this team because he's the guy who beats that team. Are they going to play Pollard against this team? You know what I mean?
We haven't mentioned our sponsor.
We will.
Okay, we'll do it at half.
We're pretty much there now because that's 48-7. They win the Tri Nations. I'm an old man. They win the Rugby Championship. They got the Freedom Cup. They've still got the World Cup.
Freedom!
They've got whatever one they play against the Aussies for. I'm sure there's one. They've got a lot of cups.
Don't have the Bledisloe.
That's true. They don't have the Bledisloe.
Suck it.
Before we talk about Bledisloe 2, congratulations South Africa, by the way, for the Rugby Championship.
I'm going
to
give you a begrudging
victoire.
I don't want to give you this clap, but you deserve it, South Africa.
Yep, best team of the competition. Like, it's not even, like, some years it goes down to bonus
they're
points,
playing,
point,
are they
whatever.
Are Ireland again at the end of the year?
Sadly, no.
Oh, that's a shame.
We are.
Yes, we are.
We're drinking a beer called Red Dog.
She's got a little punch to it as well.
It's 5.7%.
Do you want me to give you a little ASMR?
Go on.
You crack that one, and then I'll give ASMR on the side.
Okay.
Oh, here it comes. Ooh. Ooh. Sorry.
Now, for any of you guys who were like, hey, I was actually trying not to drink alcohol, you can do it. Don't drink alcohol.
Don't drink alcohol. We do get some messages going, I'm an alcoholic, and when you guys crack beers...
It really makes me want to drink a beer. Don't do it because of us.
Go have a non-alcoholic beer.
I don't smoke anymore. I sometimes get the cravings. I really wanted to fucking smoke after my son betrayed me.
Yeah.
But I didn't smoke.
When was the last time you had a durry?
It's been a wee while.
Oh, yeah. if I had a durry right now, and I just...
Let's put the podcast on pause. We'll step outside. Beer and a durry.
Yeah, beer and a... I used to smoke cigarettes too, but I don't get the cravings at all.
Really?
Not at all.
I only get them occasionally.
I smoke when I'm in Malaysia still.
Oh, there you go.
I go back and everyone's smoking and I'm like, it's so hot.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife's uncles will just be like, come on, man, have a smoke. And I'll look at my wife and be like, I'm getting a smoke. And she's like, okay, just the one.
Yeah.
Right. She doesn't like me smoking.
They often don't.
It's a very cultural thing in China.
Look at this ottoman. That's a child pen mark, isn't it? Yeah. Why do we have these?
Why are we drinking this beer called Red Dog?
Red Dog.
It's red miso and rice red IPA from the Garage Project in Arrow Street, Wellington. 5.7%.
We had these beers bought for us by our fantastic sponsor.
We did. Oh, Brad.
Brady Brad boy.
Brad likes a dog, hence Red Dog.
The name of the company is Four Paws. Four Paws
Run. Four Paws, the number four.
Fourpawsrun.com. Was it fourpaws.com?
I know they have a Facebook page and they have an Instagram.
And boy, it's more than just a walk. It's an experience. It's a boot camp.
Boot camp for the doggies.
He gets out there and he whips them. No, he doesn't do that. But they go out to the forest. They have a great time.
Yeah.
It's based in Whangarei.
Based in Whangarei, which is the north of where we are here in Auckland.
There might be two people.
If
there are 4,000 people watching us, say.
Okay.
Two people might be watching this that have a dog in Whangarei.
There you go.
Maybe there's more.
And
if you have a dog in Whangarei, comment below.
That's true. Let us know what kind of breed of dog you've got.
Yeah. Is it a Shetman?
Is that a dog?
It's a breed mix. But we went through this last week.
I would doubt you, but I was proven wrong last time.
It's a make-believe.
It's like a Doberman and a Shih Tzu?
Yeah, I said this last week.
Oh my God. My memory is terrible.
Yeah.
genuinely
I'm
terrible.
I'm not editing that in.
Okay. Well, I admit that I believe you.
I've had to edit things in the recent weeks where he's like, we never talked about that.
And then it was proven that I did talk about it. It was me as well, not him. Let us know what dog you've got.
Yeah.
If you're in Whangarei or anywhere near Whangarei and you're thinking you're heading to Whangarei.
Or you're coming to New Zealand, you've got a lot of money and you bring your dog.
Yeah, and you want to have someone walk your dog for you, go on an adventure, or even a bit of doggy boarding services.
Yeah, if your dog's looking at you and you're buggered from the end of the day and he's like, I need to go for a walk.
And you're like, fuck this.
Oh, just, why did I get a dog?
I wish some handsome cut
Whangarei man
could just do it
Northlander.
For me.
Northlander.
And he could do it for you.
Northlander who supports the Taniwha, who gave me shit about North Harbour, who fucking smoked Canterbury this week.
There you go.
65-19. Suck it! Sorry.
That's Canterbury.
Yeah, suck it, Canterbury. It wasn't Northland. But wow, what a man. What a time to be alive. We have a sponsor.
Thank you, Brad. This is the fourth week of Brad's sponsorship.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate it a lot. If you guys want to check out Brad's dog walking service,
it's fourpaws.com.
Tony will probably forget to put links down in the description.
It might be fourpawsrun.com.
Hopefully
he's commented on this video.
I'll pin
the comment. Yeah. Say something fun, Brad.
We appreciate you, Brad. Thank you for sponsoring us.
You're a bloody legend. Really appreciate it. Yeah, so please, before you even like this podcast or subscribe to either of our run-of-the-mill rugby channels, go like and follow his Instagram and Facebook for an incredible dog walker.
Hell of a dog walker. When I thought dog walker, I just thought like you just take them on the street, but it's none of that bullshit.
No, he gets in there and just gets rough and ready.
There you go.
If you want someone to get rough and ready with your dog.
With your shit, man.
With your bitch. Brad's the man.
Cheers, Brad.
Shot cows.
Any other sponsors that want to get in touch, just
let us know.
This is the kind of service you can get. All it takes is a few beers.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's it. Yeah. It's not a particularly pricey proposition. Oh.
I like to think we're affordable.
Yeah. Maybe a little too cheap.
Decent value for money, though, I think. Absolutely. Hopefully.
Yeah, I think we did like 7 minutes on... We did a script last week.
I know. Goodness me.
Yeah. What a time. What a time to be alive. But next week, we're probably going to have to go back to buying our own booze.
This is probably true.
It's okay. Don't feel for us. Mark.
There was another game on.
Was it?
New Zealand.
Versus?
Australia.
Ooh.
From Wellington. The Hoodoo.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. I enjoyed this game thoroughly.
Yes. I like the fact that the Aussies actually gave us a bit of a bloody nose early. And it was like, oh, shit.
They've turned up.
Wellington again.
Because I kind of expected us to, I don't know why. Yeah, because it was like, I was on my boys chat and
I thought we were going to pump them. I put money on us to pump them.
Yeah, yeah.
A whole $10. I was like, $10, we're going to pump them.
Like 5 minutes and I, on my boys group, I just wrote fucking Wellington.
Yeah.
You know, because it felt like, and we're very anxious now, I think. Because one of the things I really liked about this game was throughout the rest of the rugby championship, every time we've faced adversity, but most of the time the adversity's been in the last 60 minutes. We've folded.
We've crumbled, eh?
Yeah. We haven't faced any adversity and come over it.
Yeah.
And in this game, we faced early adversity. They turned up. They came in with a lot of intensity. Yep. They had a really, really sharp Joe Schmidt game plan that was keeping us down our end and keeping us uncomfortable and broke our line and got points.
That's right.
So it was nerve, a little bit nervy. We're like, oh, God. Because we haven't seen this crop of players with this coach get over a hurdle like that.
That's
so
right.
They did.
Yeah, they were really under the pump.
Yeah.
They really came out of the blocks not firing. The Wallabies were all over us.
Yeah.
So that was very disconcerting. But like you say, they actually managed to front up. Caleb Clark did all right. I mean, I got a yellow card, but
he's such a
freight train at the moment.
He's playing like 2020 Caleb Clark. And
he loves playing Australia, eh? He does well against Australia.
I think he's done well all rugby championship.
He's looked the best left winger.
And to be fair, I think he's done so well because I think coming into this, he played really, really well throughout the Super Rugby season. But I think coming into this recent All Black campaign, he was probably fourth cab off the rank in terms of...
there were definitely people saying, like, why is Caleb Clark in the squad?
There was... I reckon Razor would have had Sevu and Narawa. Or
maybe not Narawa, but...
Maybe Sevu...
Will Jordan
and...
maybe Bodie in his back three? I don't know.
Not Bodie. Freaking Black Mamba.
Talia, yeah. Yes. Yeah, his pecking order spot is kind of dropped.
Which I think is unfair because he hasn't done anything wrong.
Mm.
Really.
Clark's been good, though.
But Clark's just been, you know, be so good they can't ignore you. He's been that sort of good. Just big in the contact, big under the high ball.
Yeah.
Like incisive lines. Yeah. Really, really robust in the contact. Like just, you don't want to, imagine trying to grab onto one of those limbs when
people keep saying
like
he needs to play 12. Well, I think because he's a big dude. And people are like, hey, Martin Nondo was a big dude. Tanu Umanga was a pretty big dude. So Caelan Clark's a big dude. I think he could play 12. I don't think that's quite how it works. Midfield's a little bit more complicated than that. I don't think Caelan Clark's ever played 12.
And both of those players, especially Martin Nondo. Martin Nondo got so much shit from the New Zealand public about his defense when he first went to the midfield.
Yeah. Very similar to what's happened to Rico.
Yeah.
But then he got really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Rico
stuck with him.
Been like...
Rico's still...
solid.
Solid, very solid. But
it's weird that he's kind of become a more defensively solid 13 than like this out and out attacking 13. He just often carries it up the guts.
Yeah. But yeah, we bounce back. Lovely tries. What was the first try? Did Caleb
Reese?
Oh, that's right. And then it was
Jordan.
They're both nice little.
ALB played pretty well at 12.
Yeah, I like the look of him.
Good
at 12.
Balance of some nice defense and some good pass set up a couple of tries.
And I think it was nice having him there because Geordie's obviously the front line number 12, but he is. Some games he's played poorly.
I think ALB played better than Geordie's played in any of his games, but it's one game.
Yeah, you had that weird voice thing there for a second.
I got a little bit.
A little bubble there.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you'd noticed that.
I did notice. You noticed that. It's ALB has been playing pretty well. Geordie's had some stinkers this year as well. So
yeah,
coming on and playing well. I don't know if Geordie has really appreciated the vice captainship that he's been awarded somehow. Yeah,
he's going to Leinster anyway.
Yeah.
Soon.
Is that after...
after this.
So he'll probably go to North and just stay North?
I think so, yeah. He won't just go and come back to New Zealand for the Super Rugby season.
Oh. That's a bit of a hit to the Canes.
Yeah.
Because I think he played pretty well for the Canes this year, didn't he?
Yeah, he was right.
Yeah.
Tamaiti Williams got a try.
The bench came on and played well.
He gave the bench a bit more time. I mean, he was able to because the scoreline was looking all right. But Patrick Tupelota came on pretty early. Tamaiti Williams came on pretty early. Even Tossie... came on and looked really good.
He got two really big turnovers. I was really happy for him because he seems like a top quality bloke.
Yeah.
And just to like put in some good work with that All Black jersey on, I thought that was really nice to see. Mm. Really, really good. Australia, mate.
McCrite still looks all right, although he missed the tackle on Will Jordan.
Yeah, but that was, I think most players in the world missed that tackle.
Yeah, and he couldn't stop Tamaiti Williams from like a metre up from the goal line. And
there's an 80 kilo difference. But yeah.
but he scored a try. He scored their only try of the game. He burrowed over, beat the Groot to the line.
Is the problem with the South the Australians? The problem with the South Africans is they just eat too much meat. No, the problem with the Australians,
send some of that biltong to Australia.
That they just don't have the quality of player. Like Noho Lolosia is not a world class international 10.
Yeah, he's not.
Hunter Paisami is very good. Donaldson is very good.
Ikitau's pretty good.
McRide is world class.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of world class players, but they've got a lot of good players. But when you come up against world class players, then you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, but if you've got a lot of very good players and then some okay players, those okay players are going to fucking stand out like a honeymoon.
That's right.
So
the thing is, I think Joe Schmidt's the kind of coach that can take a team which is not as talented individually and teamwork-wise get them playing beyond what their kind of on-paper skill level should be, but they're just not there yet.
So what does that mean with the current skill level? Let's say he's bumping up their overall stats by 10 points. Does that mean they're that low? Like, because I thought that part of what made them so good is they came out with intensity and they came out to, you know, really... really put in, dig in.
Yeah.
And they came up with a hell of a game plan.
Yeah.
You know, especially early on, but they just didn't have the fitness and capability
to keep it up for the
80. Keep it up for freaking 20 minutes, really.
Yeah.
You know, were they winning at halftime? Were they just ahead at halftime?
Was it 13? No, did we score?
Right, it would have been 13-12. I think they might have got a penalty.
Yeah, it was pretty tight at halftime.
Yeah.
But they didn't score in the second half.
And we scored after 60 minutes, man.
We did. One try. I don't believe it. We finally did it. Finally did it. Oh, yeah. My God. 7 points.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I think we had one chalked off, right? Tupou Vahi got one chalked off. It was like, oh no.
No, that was our one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a collective, like,
sigh/Bronx cheer
from the entirety of the nation.
Yeah, we scored after 60. Finally managed to get one.
You know, and that's the thing, like, you know how this week they Bledisloe Cup game week in New Zealand on Sky Sport, they play a lot of retro 2000, you know, games. And I was watching one from 2009 and they were playing against players like Rocky Alsom, Ghetto, Larkham, Swoop, whatever it is, and, you know, really world class players. Yeah, these guys are great. And it was a tight tussle. It really was, and it came down to the last 10 minutes. But the All Blacks, like, they mucked up a little bit here and there, but they just kept on throwing bullets.
Right.
Just kept on coming at them. So I was like, shit, that's what we used to do. We used to just throw so much at you the whole game and not let you freaking take a moment off.
Eventually
you
couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. And we had this ability to be like, the game is here. It's so intense, but we could just go...
Yeah.
Take it elevate the game. Mm. Where right now we've been going...
Yeah, deflating.
But it was nice to see that we were able to keep up with a little bit more intensity. I thought the D-Mac came on and played pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, coming on, playing against, you know, him with fresh legs, you know, sprightly as all hell, playing against slightly slower legs.
He looks a better prospect, though.
Yeah, I like him on the bench. I do like him on the bench. Like,
what do you think about it? Because I've seen both ends of the spectrum where some people are like, well, he was dog shit. And other people are like...
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Other people.
That's all I think.
It's four paws. But other people were like, oh, how good is it to see a guy unlock the back line?
Yeah. I thought it was okay. It didn't stand out to me as amazing or poor.
Mm.
So
somewhere in the middle.
Fine. Like,
that's not a controversial enough opinion.
And look, and there's a number 10 that doesn't kick the ball very often, South Africa. You can do it. You know, he missed one kick at goal, didn't he?
Mm.
But yeah, that was nice to see that he, I like him at 10. I do like him at 10.
What do you think of Kane?
Oh, yeah, I was about to say that. Sam Kane, eh?
100th game. Do you think he goes, okay, do you think he goes, in November? It's indestructible. That's the Temu pin.
Damn it. Didn't give me the snapping moment.
It's too cheap to snap.
It bent. You're gonna still use it, you cheap bastard.
Of course I am.
Snap. Okay, sorry. Yeah, it was really 100
game.
Came out with a smile on his face.
Yeah,
that was reminding me of the women's game. They came out smiling.
I don't know if he played that well.
He missed a tackle, but let's not give him shit. Okay. Like, let's not shit on someone on their birthday, man.
Yeah,
Jesus. True. But like, I don't like your dress. But no, what an effort. What a man. To come back from a broken neck, come back from career-wise, what is equal to a broken neck, a red card and a World Cup final, to get those few more caps.
Should call it quits here, or does he go in November? Like, it'd be nice to go out right on a high, whereas to Ireland and France, you've got a pretty good chance you're going to go on a low.
Or is he going to get selected?
Yeah, but I mean... do you just pull yourself out of the selection race if you're him and just go like, that's it, I'm done, go on?
I kind of would like to see him. TJ has been on the record of be like, oh man, any chance I can get to play for the All Blacks, I'm going to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a situation where Razor was like, you're awesome, you're amazing, but because this game kind of almost looked like it was just on the bounce down on the way in. On those last two games, where he's just like, we're not going to select you, but please take this opportunity to bow out.
Right.
You know, and
do it on your terms, kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what I'm wondering.
Hopefully he gets that, or they might just take him and he can have, we can win games over there.
We could. We could well do, but if you retire now, it's guaranteed that you win out on a high.
But rugby is, nothing's guaranteed in rugby, and he's a rugby player. You know, like, it wasn't guaranteed we were going to win the last two test matches. And we won, so it's his decision. Really, we'll see what happens. It's the last we'll see of TJ Perenara on these shores. How would you summarize his career?
He's been a good player.
Lippy.
Yeah, very lippy for sure. Yeah. Bad haircut at the moment, but
you don't like the. It's like, mate, you've grown out of the mullet. Come on.
Yeah, what can I say?
Yeah,
but no, he's been a good player. He's been a good servant for New Zealand rugby. I wouldn't have thought he was going to get back into New Zealand rugby, to be honest, because he went abroad and he got a huge injury. He was out for like a year.
Yeah, giant.
So the fact that he got back was pretty encouraging. Wait. I don't know if Roygaard hadn't got injured this season,
he wouldn't have got.
I don't know that he would have got the game time to get himself back into the All Blacks.
He was playing second fiddle to Roygaard.
Yeah, for sure.
And he, yeah, I don't think he would have got in. And Roygaard left and he was like, ooh, and then he played pretty well.
He played really well at the Canes, so. Yeah.
Really, look, Roygaard is just coming back up to fitness now. So, yeah, if they have Roygaard, take him on the end-of-year tour.
Yeah, if you got Roygaard and Ratsima, I don't know that you need TJ.
It's interesting, they're not taking... Usually the All Blacks are often travelling with three...
Or do you take Hotham as the young guy, or do you take, like, bring back Finlay Christie? I don't know.
I think they might take TJ if they take three just to be like... follow me, lads. This is how you handle things on tour. These are the sort of things you got to.
He leads the haka well.
Sure does. Does a hell of a haka. Nice to see a guard of honour for Sam Kane there. Don't often do those sorts of things.
That's true.
Which was really nice. But no, very nice. It was an enjoyable game. Like
both the games were blowouts though.
Yes. Not so great for the neutral, but I think it was enjoyable for us because it was like tense at the start, and then we got to see the All Blacks do something they haven't done.
That's right.
All year, which has overcome any sort of adversity in the game. Yeah. It would be a very different conversation we'd be having if they shat the bed. Wellington!
Yeah, exactly.
This podcast would probably get six times more views.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, well. For those of you that are here.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. Sticking it out. Slumming it with Tony and Mark.
You watching any other rugby on the weekend?
I watched the highlights of North Harbour smoking Canterbury. That's a lovely one. 65-19. Fihaki, explain this to me. Why is he getting called up to the All Blacks?
Because he's a Crusaders guy.
What the fuck, man? Shooter Stevenson made him look like a freaking pedestrian like 16 times during that game.
Yep.
Like...
Razor does have a very big thing about the guys.
It's just bullshit.
It's a bit of an old boys club, isn't it, with him at the moment? The Crusaders club. Like the amount of... Tutu.
Yeah. It is just rank average bullshit.
Plumber drops below Harvili.
Yeah. Yeah, it's if you're... Harvili gets in there over Proctor. I thought Harvili came in and ran hard.
He had one bad pass, but he did have a couple of good carries, it's true.
But it was... Yeah, very, very, Fihaki, it's like not playing well at NPC level, has shown us pretty much zero at Super Rugby level, looks like a good athlete. Not an All Black.
Still a young guy, yeah.
Not an All Black, whereas freaking Shooter Stevenson's been ripping it up for years.
And he is an All Black.
Yeah, he played one test for all. Like, he's never had any favourable selections whatsoever. He's got nothing given to him.
He's had to fight tooth and nail. He's got one token cap.
It's absolute bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty shit. I do question some of Razor's selections. Like, I know. Basically, he had that call between. We didn't talk about him. Satiti.
Oh yeah.
Jeez. Satiti was. He's a gem. He's an absolute.
Do you think we need to move him to 8 if Sam Kane retires, then put Artie at 7 and then put Blackadder at 6 or put Blackadder at 7 and muck around with the...
I'll give you this.
Okay.
Frizzell comes back.
Okay.
Frizzell at 6. Satiti at 8.
Artie at 7. That's a good back row.
Jeez. That's the brown wiggle coming at you. That's... It's Robert Rackety, by the way.
Okay.
Robert Rackety was the brown wiggle.
He's a radio host hits.
We gave him the, but that's a brown wave, just too hard to handle. I'm so here for it. That would be great. That'd be a great little three pack. Notice how I didn't say threesome. I contained myself.
You wanted to tell me something about some sex.
Oh, so, Sexton.
About the Ioane thing?
Yeah.
I only saw a headline, I didn't read it.
So, it was so much for the no dickheads policy. So, after, Sexton's released a book recently. pardon me, he's released a book and he recounts his experience of the 2023 quarterfinal that he lost. Yep. He says he can't watch it. He replays so many games in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He actually replays in the book he says, so-and-so takes it to the line, Retallick takes him, and
Whitelock
clearly doesn't show any release. It's a penalty all day long, but it goes the other way. Like, he puts in a bitch, which is wrong, because there's... So he has a whinge there. And then, so immediately he's lost credibility with me, and he's a lippy bugger.
He's the kind of guy who's never, ever going to be calling it anything but totally one-eyed.
100%.
He's very fiery. Like, even when he got suspended once for yelling at a referee in a game that he didn't even play in. He came onto the field and called the ref a disgrace.
Yeah, that's that was the Champions Cup final.
Yeah, Champions Cup final. He wasn't playing. He was injured. But he comes on and calls the referee a disgrace.
Yeah.
100%. But that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah. So then he, very completely innocently after that, just walking on his own. I'm sure he hasn't saying anything to anybody or has never said anything to anyone previous in the game that was uncalled for or in New Zealand when he was rubbing it in. But Rico Ioane comes across and says, "Enjoy your retirement, you C-bomb."
Right.
Which is a pretty low thing to say to someone who's just retiring. But, like, I have no idea what Sexton's been saying to him throughout the course of their experiences. Maybe it's the one chance he gets to, like, you know, with the Retallick one, which he goes on the record. You heard the Retallick one?
Yep. He said 4 more years.
You fuckwit.
Yeah.
And then,
And he reported on James Marshall's podcast. He was like, "I said what was reported."
Yeah. But yeah, so he puts that in there, and then he was like, "Well,
that was to Amani, who had told Kane that he was shit, Richie McCaw." So there's been back and forth. Yeah. It's easy to give people shit when you're the one winning.
Yeah. So he said, "Enjoy your retirement."
Boom, demonetized. This is your channel.
God. He says, "Yeah, enjoy your retirement, C bomb," and then he goes back at him saying he mouths off at him. You see at the end of the game saying you're a low character piece of shit, yada yada. He's like, "I know, I realize that was a bad look, but the emotions got the best of me." And then he says, "But so much for the New Zealand no dickheads policy." And I'm like, okay.
Didn't I talk about this last week?
What?
No dickheads policy doesn't mean you can't be a mouthy prick.
Yeah.
Dickheads policy means you need to be a team player, show up on time, pass the ball instead of being selfish, that kind of shit. You can be a right prick.
But Dan Coles, for God's sake.
Exactly.
He's a great player, by the way.
Yeah, people take the no dickheads thing out of context.
You got a little bug flying around you.
Okay.
Anyway, so that was what was... I probably murdered the telling of that.
That's a bit of drama.
A little bit of drama. Did I watch any other rugby? Oh, drama. Not that I can remember, to be honest. Tell me about the Urk.
Okay. Your team.
Munster. Yeah.
Went away to the Italian side, Zebre.
Okay, can I try and pick winners and...
Yeah,
and,
I've only got 3 results written down.
So I'll try and pick winners down. and margin.
So Munster went away to Zebre, the Italian side.
Munster won by 35 points.
Munster scored 33 points.
Oh, yeah.
Zebre scored 42.
What?!
Yeah, Zebre are usually shit.
What?!
Munster had a big lead and then they lost.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah,
oh,
that's good one, Munster.
Made me look like a fool. I had a 35-point win.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay.
Glasgow, the reigning champions.
I felt really confident about my prediction.
Yeah, I know. I would have as well. Because Munster should be beaten there, Bray.
Yeah.
They lost. Glasgow hosted Benetton, the other Italian side. It's the reigning champions.
Sorry, Glasgow won by 22.
They won 42-10.
Oh, because then I was like, they would have wanted them, but I'm going to bring it back a little bit. Munster, you screwed me.
And then the other one, Cardiff were away to the other Welsh side, the Scarlets. Scarlets scored 15 points within the first 10 minutes.
And they lost.
They lost.
Yeah.
That's all the points they scored. They scored literally 15 points.
27-15?
24-15. Oh. Very close. Cardiff. Okay. Who have not in the last couple of years been the great side, they are on maximum points from 2 rounds. They've got 2 bonus point wins. So
get in there, the Blues.
They're not called the Blues anymore.
Oh, get in there, Cardiff City. Cardiff? Are they called Cardiff City?
Yeah, just Cardiff Rugby.
Good on you, Cardiff Rugby.
So, there
really
you go.
Good stuff. Really good stuff.
Oh, and the women's rugby, we lost to Ireland.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Ireland was playing like paying $21.
That's a bad loss, guys.
Yeah.
Get it sorted.
We're supposed to be beating Ireland. I didn't watch that one, sadly. Yeah. That one wasn't really promoed much here.
No.
Like, when we were going to play England in that warm-up game.
That was a bit promoed.
It was promoed.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch it?
It didn't even mention on the breakdown either. Mm.
Jet House boys and girls.
Yeah.
I'm dying for a piss.
Okay. I
really am.
This red dog goes through you.
Yeah, he really goes through you.
All right.
Dog.
Well, cheers to Brad.
Cheers to Brad. Thank you, Brad.
Future sponsors, just get a touch. Send me an email.
We really thought it was going to be an Avalanche sponsors for this plane, but your phone's gone quiet.
So maybe there's just no signal.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, good on you, Mark.
Cheers, champ.
Thank you for watching.
Take care, folks.
Adida.